Monster Man, episode 319, Red Worm, to Serpent Weed, comma Giant. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the Lowlife section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. But James, I hear you saying, in the previous episode, you said that this episode was going to be an all-listener mail special.
That's true, I did say that. But unfortunately, just because of the way the schedule worked out, I had to move the order of episodes around a little bit. I am still going to do a listener mail special, and hopefully it'll be this Friday's episode, so apologies for that. Now on to some happier news. It's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's patron, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I go through the Deities and Demigods supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition and talk about that and about using mythology and religion more generally in your fantasy RPGs. This week's episode is going to be the final but one episode of our long-running series on Greek mythology, and it looks like the next season, unless the voting changes dramatically, is going to be about Babylonian mythology. So we're going to get to talk about, among other things, the Epic of Gilgamesh. So thank you very much, Brian McDaniel. Your support means a lot to me. Now, as you know, in most episodes of Monster Man, I cover two monsters. I've actually got three on the docket for today, and that is because some of these I don't anticipate are going to take very long. Let's start with the Red Worm. Red Worms are small creatures. They're poisonous, so they have a pretty simple poison mechanic where if you fail your poison save, it does double the normal bite damage. The normal bite damage is only 1d4. They originally come from the solo module XS2 Thunderdelve Mountain, and there they are given quite a horrible description. You know, just the language of the description kind of emphasizes, even in the relatively brief space devoted to it, the horror of their appearance. Now, we've actually discussed the red worms previously in this section because the red worms are the larval form of the Firsnaka, the fire snake, which we talked about a couple episodes ago. So they're kind of a neat warning monster in that their presence indicates that a mother fire snake is around somewhere. Because if you're encountering the larval stage, they're within the first 50 years of their development, and that probably means that mama is still recuperating following giving birth. So there's going to be a cranky Firsnaka resting in a nearby body of water. So that's kind of a neat inference. I like the idea of a monster whose presence alerts you to the presence of another monster. Next, we have the scorpion. Not the scorpion, comma giant, just the regular old scorpion. Obviously, we've covered these guys extensively already, and I don't feel like I have an enormous amount to say about them, but let me summarize my earlier points by saying that they are fine. Scorpions are kind of creepy in real life. They have such a sort of implausible appearance. They look so weird to our non-arthropod eyes that they have a kind of monstrous quality about them, even though they're only small. And the fact that they are paradoxically dangerous, they're small, but that doesn't make them harmless, that's something that we tend to find creepy. You know, lions are dangerous and scorpions are dangerous, but lions aren't creepy. So they're a fine low-level encounter, they're a fine kind of signifier that we are in an exotic location adventure story, and they're a fine monster for a bad guy to have like a big pit of. They're an image of danger and cruelty, right? My father chastised you with whips, I shall chastise you with scorpions. It is a little curious that they are in a supplement rather than in a core book. In BX, apparently they're in the kind of core bestiary, not in any of the, I don't know what the supplements are like for BX, but here they're relegated to a supplement, presumably having been cut for space reasons. Interesting. Finally, we have the Serpentweed, comma giant. The Serpentweed, comma giant is a flesh-eating plant, and it has long tendrils. It grows on the bottom of the water, and then its tendrils kind of trail up quite near the surface, and when they sense the vibrations of prey splashing around the tendrils, then the tendrils grapple them and drag them down to the main plant to be consumed. So if you're thinking to yourself, hey, this sounds a bit like the killer tree, it certainly does. It is basically an aquatic killer tree. I haven't compared the stats directly, but I will say that I think the tendrils of the serpentweed are a good deal harder to fight than the tendrils of the killer tree. I mean, they're 1d6 of them, and each of those has 9 hit dice. Additionally, of course, the central mass, the mouth and body of the serpentweed, comma giant, since it's at the bottom of the water, is harder to get to and can only be permanently destroyed by burning out its roots, which is, as you can expect, something pretty tricky to do to an underwater plant. So the serpentweed, comma giant, is a pretty tough foe to eradicate, and your best bet is just to kind of know where it is. And I think, you know, they come from X9, the Savage Coast, and I think, again, that's consistent with that scenario, just having a lot of kind of coastal and maritime encounters. Basically, it is a killer tree for watery biomes, and that is fine. One thing I like about these kinds of monsters is that they actually, weirdly, they encourage social roleplay a bit. I know that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but actually, flora and fauna of the area that are dangerous in this kind of binary way are interesting. Because if you don't get within the serpentweed's detection range, it's harmless, right? There's no Tucker's serpentweed. They're not waiting to spring an ambush for you. They're just predators that strike as their prey goes past, a bit like the killer tree. And since the serpentweed doesn't move, once you know where it is, you're golden. So if you are exploring a new area and you have these monsters that are binary, so the serpentweed is dangerous if you don't know where it is, but harmless if you do, that is an ideal situation to hire a guide. You want to hire some local kid or rugged old mountain man or something like that, someone who will point out to you the hazards of the environment and that you can talk to and ask questions and ask about the local folklore and, you know, go to the town and haggle. You don't want to bring a character like that along when the main menace is bugbears, because old Mr. One Hit Dice here is going to get mashed to bits with a bugbear's mace, and then you're going to feel bad for bringing him along to get killed. But when it comes to dangers like the serpentweed comet giant, the local guide is an ideal addition to the party. That's consistent with how, you know, explorers and archaeologists and treasure hunters and people like that have tended to work historically, and it's always fun to add a character who is there to, like, inform the PCs without necessarily taking any shine off them. So, weirdly, I think this random encounter monster actually does something to encourage a fun kind of social roleplay. Okay. That's about all the monsters that we have time for today. Patreon subscribers should be getting a new episode of Patron Deities in their feed this week. Also, we've got a special episode coming up about the lords and ladies of the realm of fairy. I'm really looking forward to that one. And hopefully at the end of this week, then we'll do our listener mail special. All of that's going to be right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.